Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And welcome to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio, where we are going to talk about the non-manufacturing report on business with Anthony Nieves. As soon as he can join us, we'll get him into the studio. In the meantime, I have Lou Weiss on with us, my co-host, who is up in New Jersey. His company, All Metals and Forge Group, is the sponsor of Manufacturing Talk Radio. And by the way, if you'd like to find All Metals and Forge Group, just look in thomasnet.com, which is a great directory online of lots and lots of suppliers and used widely in the supply chain management arena. Lou, what's going on today?
Well, not to take away any thunder from ThomasNet, or Thomas as they're now called, you could also come to us directly to steelforge.com. Unless you want to go tiptoeing through the tulips at ThomasNet. So I just wanted to squeeze my plug in there. what's going on? I don't know. I think that we're being patient. It looks like that Anthony Nieves is maybe on with Bloomberg News, CNN, and all the rest of the big boys talking his 30-second spot about the non-manufacturing report. Of course, Tony, in case you're listening, we do give you 30 minutes, so we're just waiting for you. And I see that you might be coming into the studio now. And Anthony, is that you?
I am on the line. Thank you.
Well, good. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I don't know if CNN was keeping you tied up in your 30-second spot, or if it was Wall Street Journal, or how many of them are there that you are on? Just out of curiosity.
Each month on the teleconference, there's typically five or six different media outlets and multiple reporters on the line, and then it's a follow-up this month. It varies, but this month there are seven interviews and three radio shows this month, but none as important as Manufacturing Talk Radio.
You warm my heart. I'm going to quote you on that. We'll probably do a testimonial. It's probably being typed up now by our engineer, and he's going to be posting that. So thank you very much for those kind words. I appreciate it. And this is going to be extra points for your yellow jacket.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So, Anthony.
Okay. So we got some good numbers to talk about, huh?
Definitely. It's, I know you spoke with Tim, and the manufacturing sector looks great as well. And non-manufacturing it continues to be strong. You know, 106 consecutive months of growth. Looking great here.
It's almost like we have nothing to talk about.
There's always something to talk about.
Yes. Well, we could talk about headwinds. We could talk about the coming inflation as a result of tariffs and taxes. We can talk about downturn in GDP, if what Washington is really planning to do, that they didn't learn the lesson from President Herbert Hoover, who actually created the first steel tariffs and put the country into a depression. Mr. Trump, if you're listening to this, go to your history encyclopedia and look up Herbert Hoover. He was the president of the United States. So, enough of my horse.
So, Anthony, why don't you give our listeners an overview of this lovely 58.6 number and how it came to be?
Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate being on the show. I look at the composite index at 58.6, up 1.8 percentage points. And if we look at the four indexes that make up the composite index, business activity has grown 2.2 percentage points to 61.3. New orders at 60.5, up ever so slightly, 0.5 percentage point. Employment, 54.1, another slight uptick, 0.5%. And we look at supplier deliveries, and this is interesting, that at 58.5, it's up 4 percentage points, indicating that supplier deliveries continue to slow. That's 29 consecutive months. And what I'd like to point out specifically in how this has affected the composite index, if you look at that 58.5, the 4 percentage points, yes, every other index that comprises the composite went up, but now we're starting to see something that's been a trend for quite some time and has to do with capacity and capacity constraint. Supplier deliveries, 58.5, then go down to back orders and look at that index at 60.5, another significant increase, 8.5 percentage points. So that coupled with the commentary and what we're hearing from our respondents about trucking issues, lack of trucks, lack of drivers, slow rail. This is all coupled with a booming economy, increased volume, and we're starting to see the strain here.
Anthony, I'm just curious,
I was just going to confirm the fact about backlogs, because I love backlog numbers, and it just gives a better future into what's going to happen in 30, 60, 90 days. And along with this increase of 8.5 points, we too at All Metals and Forge Group have seen a huge jump in backlog in the last 60 days. So you can write that one down.
Anthony, I'm just curious, supplier deliveries. I understand in retail what suppliers would be, and those would be the manufacturers of the goods and the trucks that get them to the stores. In the other sectors in non-manufacturing, what would supplier deliveries be, Anthony?
Well, think about all the different industries and companies, everything from your hardware supplies, your food service and accommodations. All these different industries within the sector require deliveries coming in of goods, product, whether it be food items, food commodities, office supplies, anything. And you're dealing with disparate locations typically, and overland trucking plays such a key role in the non-manufacturing sector. And the other two areas, one is the wholesale trade, adds the time and place value coming from the source origin and getting it to the back door of the, whether it be the retail outlet, and the retail could be in the apparel or clothing, or it could be on the food service side, or as I mentioned, hardware and supplies, office supplies, you name it. So they add that time and place value. And warehousing and transportation comes into play. So all those different industries impact the other industries within the non-manufacturing sector.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that would, in fact, take place, because certainly wholesale and transportation is going to be huge, and transportation is slipping further and further behind the curve. Is there any sense, Anthony, do you hear anything from your respondents in terms of transportation getting caught up in the next year or year and a half?
You know, that's a fantastic question, and there are no indications, only concern right now about, you know, how that's going to be addressed. And from what my takeaway is, because I was asked this question earlier today, by one of those lesser media outlets, not as important as Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Love you, Anthony. Love you.
And
I'm recording this one too.
They had said that they had asked a question about, well, how are we addressing this trucking issue, lack of trucks and drivers, and we're seeing it in what they're advertising for and the schools and increasing wages and benefits and really trying to attract and enhance or increase the labor pool for that arena, because it's tough. I think there is what 50,000 shortage of 50,000 truck drivers out there right now.
It's a staggering number, absolutely staggering.
Yes.
So
I think they're all parked on Route 287.
I'm not sure where they're hiding out, but they're certainly having a hard time finding them. Anthony, is there? I know that all of the indices are up. You know, business activities, new orders, employment. You know, your sector, in terms of employment, gets the biggest portion of new employees. Manufacturing is typically maybe 15 or 20% of the new hire number that we hear from the Labor Department each month. Is there still that much expansion room for employment in non-manufacturing?
There is. You know, especially in the skilled jobs area, construction is really hurting right now for workers. Healthcare is hurting for workers. We look at the unemployment percentage at 3.8%. I was speaking with an executive recruiter a month ago about the healthcare industry specifically as we struggle to find clinicians, nurses. And he said in the healthcare arena for clinicians, it's more like a 1.9% unemployment rate. So you really struggle trying to fill jobs and get the necessary field staff, depending on the industry.
Wow, that sounds terrifically tough, particularly for the industry that you're in. And the economy continues to roll along because new orders have been consistently climbing for some time. And I just want to point out, by the way, to our listeners, employment at 54.1%, even though there may have been, just a slight rise in that. That's still 4 percentage points over 50. It's still growing, Anthony. So, you know, these indices, even though they're up 1 month, down a little bit the next month, above 50, we still see growth, correct?
Absolutely. We're measuring change month to month. So that baseline moves. It's so you're looking at that growth from the prior month's growth. So anything over 50 is reflecting growth and reflecting strength for that index. It's just the rate that we're measuring.
And anything over 58 is even better than over 50.
Absolutely.
Even though we all know that over 60 is difficult to maintain that that growth. So I'll settle on 57, 58.
I'm with you. I'll settle
so
for
Anthony,
that too.
So Anthony, in terms of prices, which are now 64.3, pretty aggressive, how much of that is being passed on to the consumer at this point in time?
Well, where the majority of the increases for prices are, they are being passed on in the supply chain. Well, fuel is being passed on to the consumer for sure. You just have to look at your gas pump pricing and see.
You're right.
That, you know, with the price of oil where it is and how that's affected, you know, the fuel costs, fuel-related transportation costs. You'll see it in airlines soon enough. Air freight's already up. Freight charges are up. So that's really directly impacting the consumer at this point. Some of the other price points, labor construction is up. Labor in general, skilled labor, is up. And so companies are feeling that, not necessarily the consumer just yet. We see inflation. Inflation is coming into the picture. It's just not sharp increases at this point. The pricing power is still not there based on, you know, the competitive markets. But and this is near and dear to what you guys are all about in manufacturing. Look at the commodities, aluminum, steel, and steel products. And from what our respondents are telling us, this is the forward buying, the hedging that's going on, the supply and demand as it relates to, and at the timing of this data collection, pending tariffs, potential tariffs, and trying to get ahead of that so that the costs are mitigated in some fashion. And that's why we're seeing that the prices being driven up in those two three category areas.
But, you know, we were talking, we had an interview with someone, and they were talking about the steel tariff and so on, on aluminum and steel. And it's being believed or touted by the talking heads that the tariffs actually didn't go into effect until, but within the last couple of days, which is totally not true. The steel and aluminum tariff went into full effect on March 23rd. And I know that because on March 23rd, I got my first claim for steel tariffs. And we've been fighting it ever since because, you know, the government screwed up the papers and so on. But the point is that it definitely did go into effect on the 23rd. We also had a gentleman from Howard Steel in North Carolina, I believe, or South Carolina. He was the CEO. His name was Howard. And he's having a terrible time of it because he buys a lot of imports. And he's raising his prices accordingly, and all of his customers are blasting him because they're saying the tariffs are not in force yet. And he's saying they are, and he's paying, you know, the difference.
And what's confusing is the fact that it's by which country they've been implemented and whether it was...
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so that's what I think is muddying the waters a bit for folks.
Correct, because the first ones that got... The duty hit on them was China, and which I don't fully understand, being that they only represent 2% of our steel imports. So it's not exactly like it's a big number. It's more like a Trump beating up China attempt. Not that I'm talking politics.
I've never known you to talk politics.
No. I don't talk politics because it only gets me in trouble and loses half of our listeners.
You're the guy with the yellow jacket with the red bullseye on the back.
That's exactly right. I might try that. You know, I'm the one with the target on the back.
Anthony, so. In terms of exports, I know that we're seeing tariffs, but our exports continue, as you pointed out. The rise, we're at 57.5 above the last month, which is very interesting. It's a strong number still, even though that, you know, the other countries now, Europe is looking at getting even, China is looking at getting even. So when do we start to see the impact of the reciprocal tariffs begin to nip at this, or are we seeing it now?
Well, I think what we're seeing mostly is the strength of the dollar. And yet, keep in mind, I've reported on this on the show before, that may affect tangible goods more so than the types of things that are exported to other countries, such as in the arena of knowledge management, information, management of companies, professional scientific and technical services. That is where you see mostly the strategy development being exported out. The actual tactical functions may happen overseas, but that's what our consulting companies within the U.S. are exporting. And there's less impact. You have more leeway on price points because engagements aren't tied back to commodity markets as much.
Anthony, I just want to revisit for the moment CapEx. Capital investment by the non-manufacturing sector, is it going as strong or stronger than the manufacturing sector at present?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, as we know from the semi-annual release and what was forecasted, we don't measure that month to month within the monthly report on business yet. All indications are from the comments section of the report that we're seeing the dollars allocated, fiscal dollars allocated for capital expenditures. Our respondents have said yes, we're starting to see orders based on that. And the forecast was definitely not as, it wasn't as strong as say a few years back, but better than what we had in the previous release. So CapEx looks to be a good component of for capital reinvestment by the non-manufacturing sector.
And imports are still growing and going strong, despite the fact that there are some tariffs or looming tariffs. So that has not yet seen, I don't think, the impact of tariffs. Would that be accurate?
Yes, and we're still so reliant on imports based on how much offshoring that was done over the past couple of decades. You know, it's we see that just in as we look at our own manufacturing, domestic manufacturing, where it was, you know, go back 20, 30 years to where it is today. And that's why we see many things that are imported. I always like to look at how many true shoe manufacturers do we have in this country right now versus everything else that's coming in from overseas. As much as there's been talk about reshoring, interesting how I've toured different plants across the globe for textiles, and I could see in various countries where, well, like in China, they have brand new equipment. When I've been over in the Middle East, I've seen old U.S. Manufactured mills that were purchased from back in the 70s and are used in operation overseas. So we've seen that transfer of manufacturing. Everyone is aware of that, but until we see some significant reshoring, we're always going to have a decent import number for the non-manufacturing sector.
Anthony, in terms of employment, I know there's been a lot of discussion by the administration on limiting the number of individuals who can come here on particular types of visas. Have any of your respondents commented on that? Because obviously they're looking for employees any place they can get them.
You know, we haven't had much feedback from the respondents in that regard, because where we're seeing the shortage, and construction is a big area, and we're not necessarily looking for people coming in on visas for most of the visa applications. And again, it depends on which industry, but it's not in the, I think we'd be in better shape to take some truck drivers in, you know, if we get truck drivers in on a visa.
Yeah, right. Since we're short 50,000, we're not sure we need a lot of programmers at this point. Lou?
Exactly.
Okay, well,
I got sandbagged with people talking into my ear a moment ago, so I missed your point. I apologize.
Oh, that's right. We were just talking about all of the visas that are being curtailed, and Anthony commented maybe we should bring in truck drivers on visas because we're short 50,000 of those.
Well, we have 8,000 Mexican children in a warehouse town in Texas. We could start training them. It's better than leaving them sit there and rot. But I'm not going to talk politics.
they're holdovers from Obama, I think.
That's why those guys
Some will be applying for Social Security soon.
Now you know why Lou has people talking in his ear all the time.
Yeah, they're telling me to shut up. Sometimes I can't
Anthony, overall, an excellent report. As you sat with the semi-annual update and you looked over the balance of the year, how does this look going through the balance of the year? Does it continue to remain strong?
Definitely. You know, it's interesting how when we look at the current expansion and where we are, and, you know, the concern has always been, well, will the economy overheat? When will this expansion come to an end? And all indications are it's not anytime soon. So I just anticipate that the non-manufacturing sector and the overall economy will continue to hum along. We might not see, you know, significant or substantial increases in rate. I think you have to eventually hit a threshold there that is just not attainable to go beyond. But looking at it, all indications are, look, and you look at the leading indexes here, we're going to keep strong for quite some time. Unless something catastrophic happens, I don't see it being derailed.
Anthony, we've been, since this whole tariff and tax thing came up a month or more ago, we've talked to quite a few economists who also say the same thing you just said in terms of unless something happens. Everything is always unless. The point that we were hearing a month or two ago was, yeah, this looks like it's going to go pretty good. It may go into close to 2020, where things are going to just keep going. Well, what happens with the tariffs if it does what it's always done before from President Hoover's time? We're now beginning to hear people say, we might start seeing inflation in second quarter 2019. Do you feel this is coming, or is it going to be as a result of the effects of, you know, the tax reform? I'm sorry, not reform,
Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Yes, I can't even say the word. I don't believe it. Everyone thinks they got a reform. They got nothing.
Well, you look at the point you were making about inflation. Inflation's here. It's just not sharp inflation. It's already here. We don't have some pricing power, and inflation is sometimes used interchangeably, right?
Depending. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
right.
There's still competition out there. So how much has passed through, but prices are going up. And we see it. We see it in the index. We see it in certain commodities. It's just how much of it does get truly passed off to the consumer. And even with the tariffs, yes, will people pay the increase? Well, if you want that particular product or service, yeah, you're going to pay for it.
You have no choice. I mean,
exactly.
The automotive industry, they can't build a car without steel. So they're going to pass it on to everyone, and everyone's going to piss and moan about it, and it's going to be pay the price or don't buy the car. And that's the way it's going. That's the way it's going with oil and gas. I love $70, $80 a barrel oil because that's wonderful for Texas economy and Texas manufacturing of parts made out of steel. And so the prices keep going up. They do more drilling. They do more exploratory, and Texas is booming right now, and will probably continue so.
You know, when you were mentioning, Lou, about if this happens or in case that happens, well,
right.
I always love what Norbert Orr would say. You know, the two-handed economist. On one hand, or on the other hand.
right. That's just another version of unless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless comes from Chris Keel. I give him credit for that term, which I use
that's
now all the time.
Yeah.
I use it a lot on my wife. Yeah. Well, we'll do this unless we don't do this.
Wow, you always are playing with fire, Lou, between your marriage and your politics, boy. I don't know.
I'm on the edge. I figured at my age, my ripe old age of 75, that I'm entitled to almost say or do anything I want. Take a look at the guy in Washington. Yeah, I'm getting a signal in my ears. Say goodbye.
I just have one quick final question for you, Anthony. Because it's a 252-month trend that inventory is too high in non-manufacturing, the inventory sentiment is at 61. Can you explain that quickly before you have to sign off and jump to the next show?
Definitely. You know, it's interesting. The inventory sentiment and what we're asking our respondents is how do they feel about their inventory levels and how it matches up to their levels of business, taking into consideration factors such as turnover and liquidity. And keep in mind, the supply manager, their mindset is always any inventory is too much. And especially in the non-manufacturing sector, it's a demand pull. So if they have anything on the shelf, they feel it's too much because it's a just-in-time mindset. But putting that into, you know, taking this all into consideration, you know, we looked at that question and we looked at this index, and the numbers have, you know, reflected somewhat. They move with the same direction that the inventory moves. You don't, there's always going to be that correlation. It's just at a higher level because it's, when you think about it, in non-manufacturing, inventory is safety stock, is what it boils down to.
Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate you being on your favorite of the shows, Manufacturing Talk Radio, and we look forward to chatting with you again next month, Anthony, when I'm sure the numbers will again be dazzling. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you, Anthony. Take care now.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Lou, I guess it doesn't get much better than that. It's a great report, and that's about all you can say. It's just a great report.
Like I said, there's nothing to talk about at the beginning of the show. I mean, if everything is good, what's to talk about? So, all right. Listen, I'm going on to another show now, so... do you have that phone number?
Okay, so we're going to wrap this this live broadcast up on Manufacturing Talk Radio. We want to thank everyone for listening. Two shows to pay attention to, Women in Manufacturing is one, which is at womenandmfg.com, and also Manufacturing Talk Radio, which you can listen to at mfgtalkradio.com and all of our library of shows. Thanks again for listening today and our discussion with Anthony Nieves on the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business. Stay tuned, by the way, or check out the Manufacturing Report on Business. Tim Fiore on this same page. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time
here
at mfgtalkradio.com.